You are listening to a production of the Toll Network, home of Biting Analysis. This is Uncommon Cast RX-151. Get yourself connected. Join us as we take a critical eye to Kamen Rider Ghost. Will Takeru save himself and the Kamen Rider franchise in the 5 days he has left on this blue planet? Find out how we think he's doing as we pass judgment on... It's actually 4 days. I messed that up. Kamen Rider Ghost 43, Linked, the Boy Genius. And Kamen Rider Ghost 44, Activation, the Terror of Demia.
Our writer was Morinobu Hiro. Our director was Tasaki Ryuta. So, you know, all the usual stuff.
I think I blew through, like, all the intro stuff, which we should do now, right?
Okay, I can do that. Well, in that spirit... I am Aelin, the visa-seeking critic. Do what red?
And I am Amit, the heart-snacking critic. Do what pink?
And I'm Sona, the connected critic, Duat Green.
Putting heroes on trial. Critical Squadron, Duat Ranger.
Clearly not connected enough because I didn't notice we didn't do that. Didn't notice we skipped the roll call.
What does K-Tai Investigator 7 have a catchphrase?
It's usually just like, I think it's just like, don't, like, throw me the phone. No, don't throw the phone.
Okay.
That seems to be the only catchphrase I remember.
Okay. Okay.
It's like, no, do not throw me.
Sono, don't throw the phone. Amit, watch out. Don't throw the phone. Phones.
It's more 7 being like, do not throw me. I am a person.
Oh, okay.
He's not. He is a phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I am a phone.
Hey, phones are people too.
Imagine that I am a phone now, and that the idea that Sono and Amit are throwing me like playing ball, and I'm not a ball, I'm a phone. No, I'm a person, so don't throw me. I have no idea how to make this work.
You should say, I'm a person, and my name is Phoniken. Alright, sorry. Get my prequel joke out of the way. Sono, help us out. Take us to a place with some focus. What were your thoughts on this episode?
Okay, well, you know, I assume everyone's going to talk about bigger themes and all that. And so, you know, I generally agree with y'all. So, you know, in taking an opportunity to avoid some redundancy, I'm just going to talk about Onari. Because that's what I do. And because I have a lot of mixed feelings on the way these episodes were handling him. And, you know, at the core of his motivation in these two episodes is the desire to be of use to the group and of use to Takeru in his, you know, ambition of not being dead anymore. And I feel like this is a thing we have actually covered with Onari in the past. I feel like he's gone through this crisis once before. And, you know, but things have shifted and the stakes are higher. So, you know, the fact that he'd accepted that just him being supportive was enough, with all that's changed, I could see him being like, okay, but I'm not actually doing anything. You know, everyone else is really actively involved in one thing or another with stopping Adele and Igor and all of that, and Onari really had no way to step in. The Riders can fight, Akari and Edith are doing all this science to, you know, help Makoto and help get into Ganma World, and Onari can't really do anything on that front, but he needs to because Takeru is as important to him as he is to everyone else. You know, again, Onari has been raising this kid for the past 10 years, and he's kind of attached to him. So, you know, we start these two episodes with everyone being like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do this, and Onari's like, okay, well, I'm gonna help, and everyone's just like, no, you can't help, go away. Like, Sage actually is just like, you know what, just get out of the room, you're in our way. Which is rude, by the way.
It is.
So, you know, of course then a case comes up, and of course he's gonna over-enthusiastically throw himself into that, because that's the one thing he's been good at in this show. And when that leads to Deep Connect and the whole thing with the Demia contacts, That's kind of where my feelings on the situation head south. Just after everything that's gone on with Deep Connect and the current situation, I don't know why his instinct would be to do with something as dangerous as, I'm gonna put these in my face without saying anything to anyone. Even though this kid is wearing them, and something real weird's going on with him, and apparently a lot of other people. No, I'm just gonna put them into my face. Like, I can understand the logic of him wanting to put them in, being like, oh, if I put these in, maybe I can figure out what it's doing, and then if I tell everyone, then I'll be helpful. But he's never been that irrational. Like, stealing the contacts is fine, but, like, I don't understand why he wouldn't be like, I'm gonna give these to Akari, because, she's good at that, and that would be helping. Or even just putting them in and then going to Akari so that she can examine the effects that they're having. But, like, that doesn't seem to be his line of thought. His line of thought seems to be just, I'm gonna put these in, and in that way, I'm going to be helping somehow. I can understand the line of thought of possess Elaine so I can use the Necrom suit to help fight a lot better. Because, you know, Elaine is really strong, and Onari is really desperate. And, you know, there's a lot less obvious risk in this plan, but so once it's done, so much of it is played for a joke that it completely clouds over Onari's whole motivation for his actions, to the point where his motivation doesn't even really matter, and it's just the joke. Like, the final scene he has with Akari where she's like, dude, what's up? You're doing dumb things. He's like, I just want to help, and I can't, and I wanted to help. Like, that's all well and good, but it's like 5 seconds long, and Akari's response is, but we're on the same team, so don't feel bad about the fact that you can't do anything. Which just kind of brushes the problem aside, and then it's gone as if it never mattered. Like, I love the fact that somehow Onari has managed to be popular enough to warrant all of this writing, and you can bet that I have managed to secure a pre-order of that Onari soul icon. Because I have priorities, and that's what they are. But I'm real disappointed in how something this serious, like a character motivation that serious, is normally usually handled very well by this show, and in this arc it was just kind of kicked around for laughs.
Okay, first, before anything else, we do have to address the very important matter that there's going to be an Onari soul icon.
Yes.
Why has nobody told me this?
I didn't stop screaming about it. I don't know how you didn't know, because I will dig up the Bandai link for you.
All right. Well, thank you.
It doesn't come out till December, so you should be okay.
I'm just hoping now that in one of the sequel movies, there's an Onari suit. Like, that's all I want.
Yes. I know a fan did make Nishime-shan, like, an Onari, like, hero icon.
Nice. But, okay. So, I think getting back to the actual matter at hand, like, I think the whole episode, this arc is talking about the sort of false dichotomy of interconnection and individualism. Like, how if you don't hold fast to your concept of yourself as a singular being, you lose what makes you you, which I think is what they were trying to do with Onari, but that they also showed quite nicely with the kid and trigger pulling on what Adele meant when he said that he would become the world, which, like, look, that's a pretty baller plan, I have to say. And pleasantly, like, shocker-esque, because they just decide that they're gonna be the world, and then they do. It's great. But I sort of took Onari's identity crisis in a slightly different way, and in hopes that it's gonna lead him to realizing that he doesn't have to be fixing all the problems or having a specific nemesis, as does, like, Akari and Takaru, but at the same time eventually learning that his habits of kindness are what make him who he is. So that when Javert eventually shows back up, having taken his first steps on the road to some kind of enlightenment, then Onari can say, oh, I see, this is what I bring to the table, because as you've said, like, what he brings to the table is not so flashy or violent or impressive. Well, visually impressive, as is, you know, having a Ryder kick, for instance. I mean, I'll agree it's not handled very well, and there's a level at which I could see when reading it as Onari doesn't know his place and makes a fool of himself when he tries to step out of it. But at the same time, it read to me more as, like, he's trying to be someone else, and like you observe, Sono, that doesn't work because he's him, and he's not Elaine. Elaine is Elaine. So he can do what he does, which is why I thought the Demulensis was actually pretty cool, because, you know, he didn't know what he was getting into, but his whole thing is kind of, his whole quest has been for clarity of vision, and I sort of thought that was a nice little wrap-up of that. So it made a lot of sense for me, but I can totally see where you're coming from on it, Sono. But and we can talk about at some other time about how certain strains of depression or learned helplessness create feelings of being disposable, and maybe that's what he's evoking. But I just like that whether or not they got there, I feel like they were trying to drive home that we're stronger together, but that strength only matters if we're still us when we're together.
Just sort of May I?
No, sir. No.
No, yeah. Not allowed to speak.
I'm hoping that what you said will tie into what I said, because
right on.
I kind of think it does.
We're all kind of going. It's nice.
All right, so it's funny because you had your laser knees that we talked about this week as your 25. It was 25 and not 26, right?
No, I believe it was 26.
Okay, 26, the wedding one. The one with all the marriage. It was all about connections, and Yamato is specifically talking about connections. And again, looks like here, it's all about connections. Adele is forcing connections between people, and while it works, it only serves his goals. Onari tried to force a connection between himself and Takaru, and it put him, Elaine, and others in a lot of potential danger. It also didn't work. Onari is not Elaine, and inserting himself into that role failed him miserably. Onari really stayed disconnected from Takaru and really the group until he and Akari had their chat in the server room. Of dubious quality, like Sona pointed out. Heck, Takaru has failed to connect with Adele, and that is shaping things too. Maybe the message here is be true to yourself, like Aleph said, and welcome the connections that come as a fruit of that. There's something there. Like, connections are clearly super important, but I'm not sure what necessarily is being said, and that might be, like, the rest of the show is going to hammer out that message for us. What about you, Sarsenian? What thoughts were sparked for you from this episode, or these episodes?
I don't really have much to say in terms of themes that you guys haven't already said, but, yeah, I do feel kind of it, but it is kind of a problem. Just how, I don't know. People have kind of had a, like, where should I start? So, hold on.
You're talking about people outside of the show or people within the show?
No. Well, I was gonna talk about how the people outside of the show talking about ghosts, but then I realize it's not really actually that relevant because, you know, not really that relevant right now, but basically I feel like these episodes really would have benefited if these were gonna be like the big break, like the big breakout for Onari. Like, this was gonna be like, you know, like that Shunpei moment near the end of Wizard, you know? Like, where he...
God, see, that's what it should have been! It should have been that moment where Haruto was, like, giving up, and Shunpei was like, no, jerk! You have a job to do! Go save that person!
Yeah, exactly. And it's like... And it's like...
So frustrated.
And it's like, it's not as if Onari can't do that. He has done, like, we have seen him in actually, like, being pretty, like, I wouldn't say subtle, but being, like, pretty, like, much more comparatively reserved for, like, real dramatic moments. Like, you know, the one the early episodes where, you know, where Takeru was dying and he was, you know, at the end of the first arc, you know, he was not just a comic relief there. He was actually like, it took this thing seriously, if that's the right word to use here. It's just that it really would have felt a lot more appropriate if, you know, there was like this visible like change in how Onari is acting. Like, it would have really sold this a lot more. Like, as it is in these episodes, it's just like, it's Onari being silly again, you know. It is, you know, business as usual, when it kind of shouldn't be that. And especially this late in the show, it would do the character a lot of benefits if they just, like, have him finally, like, just have these two episodes where he gets to be, like, have his only sort of character struggles, like minor struggles. There's this own dramatic arc going on. But instead,
the thing is, they should have just had him like sit down and talk to Javert about this.
Mm. You know,
and kind of bring that full circle in, like, okay, Javert, like, okay, look, you showed me how to act like a normal person, and I think you need to step back and take a look at what's going on, and it's not as bad as you think.
Mm. Yeah, something like that. Something, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's because of the writers, or because of, like, what Toei demands, because, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right, you know? Like, come on, like, Onari's been here for, like, Onari's been very silly for, like, 90% of the time. Can we have just this one moment with him, you know? Like, we all really like the part where he was, like, with Javert. We all like the part where he was giving food to Javert, so why can't we have that again,
so good.
You know?
I mean, like, the thing is, like, the Javert stuff isn't the only time that he's gone not more serious, but hasn't been treated like a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Onari's actual emotions have never been treated as a joke before by this show. Anytime he's actually, like, felt strongly about something, be it, you know, being angry at Sage or being upset about Takeru, his emotions have been presented very earnestly. This time they weren't, and that's kind of, like, where my whole issue is, in that there was a lot they were trying to explore, but then they made it a joke for some reason.
Yeah.
At this point, I want to interject and just say that I think we're edging into Bones territory, so why don't we go ahead and just move there? Is that all right?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Pretty much this is my big complaint
about the
episode.
Yeah.
All right, well, Saracenian, I see you're in the notes first, so why don't you start us off? What were your bones for 43?
Well, I'm trying to think if I need to say anything more about the Onari thing. No, not really. Okay, well, the other bones that I have, well, let's continue on with the character stuff that I'm sorry that they, wow, did we really just ran out of things for Aria to do or something? In, like, I mean, was it like episode 43? It was like either in 43 or 44 where it's like Aria finally says something about the whatever Adele is doing. She finally stands up and then she just gets instantly knocked out. And it's like, what? Really? Did we really have nothing else for Aria to do now? It's like,
really? Because, I mean, it's what that moment is that moment is speaking about Adele.
Yeah, I know.
Where he's like, look, I'm pissed at him about it.
Mm.
But I don't think I don't think the fact that it's a thing that happens is we have nothing to do with Arya. We've, like, run out of ideas for her. It's Adele has completely forsaken the idea of other people, and the one blood relative he has left who still cares about him, he doesn't regard as a living thing.
I know. Yeah, I get that. I get what it's trying to do. Arya hasn't really done much these past few episodes, and it just kind of, I don't know, it just stuck out to me a lot personally. Like the one moment where she finally gets to do something else and look very concerned, like in the last several episodes, and then she gets knocked out. And it's like, yeah, I get what it's trying to do, but I don't know, couldn't there be... couldn't they have done something else? I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to think. Like, couldn't they have, like, given her something? Like, if... Like, okay, if they have to get her knocked out here, couldn't they have given her something to do, like, earlier, so that it doesn't feel like, oh, she's just there in the background now, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm just gonna jump ahead. One of my bones is for 44 is Arya doesn't get to do enough, and it's not just for 44, it's also in 43, and I think Sona has a good point, but Sarsenia, I also, like, we need more of Arya doing stuff in this show, and it's great that she, you know, is powerful and strong and, like, a cool, interesting character, but, like, cool character in Gaim, and they murdered her.
I mean,
like,
I completely agree that Arya needs to do more. I've spent the past 2 months wanting her to just punch Adele, but I don't think that them knocking her out is just like, oh, we have nothing to do with her, let's just put her out for a while. I feel like him doing that was more than she's done in the past, like, 4 episodes.
I wouldn't say that's much of a good thing either.
I'm not saying that's a good thing, but what I'm saying is that is her doing something.
I suppose. I don't know, like, I mean, okay, now I'm just imagining, like, now I'm just mentally rewriting how this thing would go. Like, I don't know, like, I would just imagine, like, we established that, you know, Arya has, like, she can henshin, like, she can become, like, a Necrom, too, so... Okay, maybe...
But they took that away.
I know.
They took it from her.
I know, but... I don't know, couldn't have they have written, like, so that... I don't know, maybe, like, Arya managed to get away for a while? Like, for last few episodes, she is, like, a fugitive on the run or something, and then she gets the belt, and then she tries to, like, in this... these 2 episodes, she tries to, like, I don't know, storm the castle. Like, she gets on the tower, and then, you know, she's like, oh, Adele, I gotta stop you now. And then Adele, like, does his magics or something. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, just something, you know? Something other than I'm just not gonna do much for the last several episodes.
I'm just gonna disagree with you on that and let it be, because...
Yeah. Yeah, I really do see both sides, but I think we should move on from this, because I feel like we're just gonna start going in circles. Mm. So, you had a couple other things, right? Or you want to let Sono go right now?
Well, this is actually kind of it's a minor thing to most, but it's a major thing to me, which is something that's been bothering me for a long time now in this show, and something that has really gotten worse and worse by time, which is, where are all the insert songs? Where are the character songs at? Like, remember those?
I've always really found insert songs to be distracting.
I love the insert songs, because they're always my favorites in these tokusatsu productions, because that's when you know that, oh yeah, this moment is special, or yeah, it's going down, like something like that. But it's like none of it is in Ghost. It's like Gaim had some insert songs, as far as I remember. Well, at least it had like song. Different character songs, you know, released in albums and music videos, but Gaim doesn't have. Ghost has had none, like, at all. Outside of, like, the main opening song.
There's Elaine.
Yeah, but. Elaine, but that's like an incidental music. That's like a leitmotif or something, but it's not really like. It's not like a song with like vocals and lyrics. That's what I mean. So it's like, couldn't we? I don't know. It just feels kind of weird to me, like watching a tokusatsu that's like doesn't have songs in it. Like, that's weird. God, remember when Wizard had like a billion songs in it, all done by that weird idol. That writer idol group that apparently still exists or something. Which, okay, those are decent.
Never mind. I was going to say, actually, that's Rider Chips, but Rider Chips is the rock.
No, Rider Chips is the
rock. It's just Kamen Rider Girls.
Okay, there you go.
Which has always been one of, which has always just, like, bewildered me that they. That would be a whole other tangent, but yeah, it's just kind of weird to me, especially when we are this late in the show and we haven't heard like a single character insert song. Like, did Drive have any insert songs or anything?
It did, and they were all terrible.
Oh, okay.
Just like everything in Drive.
Oh,
There was literally just a whole song.
Of course.
Look, there was literally just a whole song about the fact that everyone was in love with Kiriko.
Oh my god. Okay.
Like, oh, barf. I didn't know that. Sorry. Was it the one about her smiling? Was that the one?
Yeah, I think that was actually like. Yeah, I think that was most of the song. And it's just. Barf. And like, the weird part is that Go is also singing it. Like, it's all three of the guys, and I'm like, everything is wrong with this song. There's nothing good here.
This is one of those things where I have to say it. This is something that I've felt for a long time, but, whenever I see people who are like, oh, like, who are like, you know, really into, like, how should I say it? Like into Kiriko and her actress the way sort of the anime communities tend to be very into certain female anime characters, you know? Like, that always super bothers me personally, because it's like, I don't know, I don't want this to really be a part of how Ryder is, how Toku is, but I...
Okay, first of all, it's way late for that because they've been hiring idols since, like, the mid-2000s.
I know. It's just, like, the most recent thing I can think of where it's become more noticeable.
I really have never heard anyone, like, talking about Kiriko like that. I mean, I follow a couple of her social media accounts because I think she's adorable and really amusing. But I really don't think people are going, or at least I haven't seen people going like waifu wars on Kiriko.
Well, they haven't gone waifu wars yet, but it's, yeah, I've seen that, and it's like, I don't know, I always feel kind of awkward about those, or I always feel kind of awkward about those kinds of things, so but no, we're really getting on a tangent, but yeah, whatever. Basically, insert songs. Where are they? Did Drive just like ruin the whole thing? Like, did the writers and producers of Ghost just look at Drive and like, oh my god?
Did ruin a lot of things.
Yeah, I would say the answer to did drive ruin everything, I would say yeah, probably. Most things.
Yeah. At the very least, probably.
Yeah, well, thanks again, drive. Mm. Gotta kick that drive. Gotta kick that dead horse, even this late in the show, because,
Look, they just put out another movie. That horse ain't dead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we are fully justified in kicking that horse.
That trailer looks awful. Anyway, so you have, you got bones to pick with this episode, don't you?
I do. I mean, aside from my whole Onari thing that I'm real ticked about, man, I would love for things to just not have creepy children with glowing eyes wandering around humming creepy songs and staring into the distance. That's just a thing that I don't want to ever have to deal with, and that I had to deal with a lot in this arc. Man, like I was saying, Sage and Yurusen were rude as heck to Onari. Like, I expect this from Yurusen, who goes out of her way to antagonize Onari, but Sage is just like, yeah, you're not useful, get out. And that's real awful. Like, yeah, he can't do the science, but he can at least, like, get food for everyone, or, you know, hand Akari books. Like, the dude is literate. If you point at a thing and be like, hey, give me that, like, he can do it. Also, who let the 6-year-old use magic internet contact lenses? Like, I'm sorry. Amit, if you just got a pair of magic internet contact lenses, would you just give them to your kids?
Hell to the no.
Yeah!
I mean, it's bad enough that, you know, Hulu exists, and the oldest one has figured out how to, like, move the mouse around and can put on endless hours of, you know, good cartoons. I can't imagine that a kid would sleep if they had magical contact lenses, because they'd just be watching stuff until they were exhausted and collapsed, because, you know, kids,
like,
no self-control.
Talking to other people on the internet and all that, like, without any kind of restrictions?
Yeah, that doesn't seem good. It's like chat roulette all over again.
Did the kids sign up for, like, a beta testing or something?
The thing is, like, I don't... Like, it is the beta test, but, like, the mom wasn't using them. Why does the kid have them in?
I'm sorry. She looks so tired. I talk about this later, but I'm just going to say it now. She looks so tired, I can imagine that maybe she just needs a little help, because it looks like she's a single mom. Or if not, you know, dad's not around, or whatever. But, you know, the lady just wanted to get some rest, and it ended up backfiring on her. That's all I'll say.
Maybe. That just seems like a real bad idea. Okay, so if all the mooks, and even, you know, higher Ganma, are people's souls, and when you destroy the Ganma, the soul goes back to the body, what happened to all the people who were in Ganma that had their Ganma bodies destroyed earlier in the series? Like, are there just people wandering around Ganma World who now need to, like, eat and sleep but don't know how to do that and just starving to death? Are they the bodies that, like, disintegrate in the coffins? I need some explanation for that.
I feel like the implication...
Because that makes me a little bit worried.
I thought the implication was that they were the bodies that turned into dust.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think the ones that turn to dust are the ones that are being consumed by the process of feeding the god misers and or keeping the connection open to the Great Eye.
Yeah, but, like, the ones who, like, the people that go fight Takeru week to week, when Takeru beats them and their icon goes back to their body... And they get, and, like, because this is what happened to Javert, and to Elaine, and to Arya, and Makoto. They get their icon broken, their body wakes up. Where are all of those people? Where is, like, Sword Mom? Or, like, Tomahawk Ganma? Where are the people who were them?
Honestly, I think you're not supposed to think about it, and I think that the plot convenience is what woke up Elaine and Alia and Makoto at that one point. And I would assume that, like, the default setting on those capsules is that they'll just keep pumping out Ganma icons when the soul returns after it's been destroyed. That's how I had read it, but I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. It's just the way that they, because Elaine's just like, oh, well, if these are the same as the ones back home, and I'm like, wait, but then where are all those people who are waking up? Like, it's framed real weird to, like, make me ask the question.
I wonder if someone has written up, like, a detailed explanation how this Ganma thing works, because it is kind of hard to follow.
I'm also real iffy on having, you know, all the Ganmizers that were destroyed be restored, just because it felt way too easy. I mean, I guess this answers our question of if we're going to see all the Ganmizer toys again, because now we have all of them back. But it's just like, oops, yeah, no, I decided to make them all again. Ha ha. And I'm like, oh, okay, Adele. You do that. It would have been nice if, like, maybe it hurt you a little and that, like, but you're willing to do that for your devotion to your cause. But it's just like, oh, nope, brought them back and now they're all angry Makotos.
Well, I think the trick of it might be, and again, we'll discuss this more later, that it was hurting Makoto to do that. So, I don't know. It's weird.
But, I mean, that's all my stuff for 43.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I guess I'll talk now. So, for 43, 13 days have passed, and it doesn't feel like anybody is recognizing that by the way people are talking, the way people are acting. And I know Onari does mention, like, man, we've only got a few days left. But it's like, well, what have you guys been doing these past couple weeks? And I guess they've been trying to set up the devices, the Henshin devices, so they could, like, pass through the gate or whatever, but it's just, I didn't like it. And then, like, you know, just getting into his human body has allowed Adele to access infinite potential. I don't think I buy that unless you go from the angle of, well, he believes, after fighting and being defeated by Takeru, that a human body is, like, the missing element to get that infinite potential, so it's like a placebo, and he says, like, well, I'm in a human body now. I obviously have infinite potential, just like this loser, because I'm much better than him anyway. That's the only way I can see it, but it really did bother me. And Aleph, you didn't have anything for 43, right?
Yeah, I never remember what went where.
Okay.
I power watch, and then it's just like, right, okay, here's the stretch where I have beef.
Okay, I guess I'll just jump into my 44 stuff then. Weird bad invisibility CG. There's been a lot of invisibility in Ghost up until now, and they've always just used, like, okay, we're gonna shoot it, and then we're gonna shoot it where he's not there and make him, like, 50% opacity. And that's always worked real well, so I don't know why they're using this weird, bad invisibility CGI in these episodes. Where, like, it's just the shape of a person doing, and then has, like, a weird, bad, plasticky texture on it. It looked real bad. Giant contact lens going onto a giant eye is bananas. And it's a level of bananas that I don't think fit the moment. It was a little too much for me.
So no.
All the other concepts so no. there I'm in on, but
so no, you are my friend, and I adore you. You're wrong.
Like, look, I'm saying it's too much for me.
Fair enough.
There are things that are too bananas for other people that I can tolerate. The contact lens was too much for me. Just watching it form into a contact lens and go to the eye was too much for me to deal with. And maybe if it hadn't been juxtaposed against this really emotional moment, I would be slightly more okay with it. but it just something about the timing of it and just the big contact lens floating across the sky, little too much for me. I want to shove Adele in a ditch. I'm totally unfazed by his whole consume the living world and use humans as food plan. Like, yeah, okay, fascist megalomaniac supervillain, that's nice. Stop being a jerk to your sister. Stop it. I want Arya to just get fed up again and pull a Sela and just walk over to him while he's doing something with the Great Eye and just punch him in the guts. I get real... I'm very protective of Arya. I never asked for this. The woman is just so dang tired. And going through so much. But my biggest problem in 44... Why was no one suspicious about Deep Connect buying a church?
I'm all over this. The guy who developed the Apple stores supposedly modeled them after cathedrals.
Wait, seriously?
Okay, but why...
Mic
why is
drop.
Like, why is, like, Akari not... Because they all know something is going on in Deep Connect. They all know this. Like, the metatextuality of that is fine, but why is Akari, like, why is Deep Connect buying a church? An abandoned church and not doing anything with it. That's a little suspicious. Maybe we should go look at that.
That's a good point.
You know, if nothing else, I'm sure he could just say, look, I'm an eccentric European, what do you want? And they'd just be like, yeah, fair dues.
I mean, that would be fine. It's just, like, again, like, Christianity isn't predominant in Japan, so it's not like, oh, we wanted to buy this church and fix it up for the community, because that's not a thing. But...
Probably like Ahmed said, they're just going to turn it into an Apple store.
Well, it's like, oh yeah, Deep Connect just has this church.
Although, I love all the imagery connected with it, but I get you. I get your point.
Like, the imagery is great, it's just... That's a church. And this is like a tech company. Those things don't quite line up. Especially since they didn't do anything with it. They just, you know, put a monolith in there. Little bit suspicious, maybe.
You know what? You had a bone to pick with it. That's fine. For my own, like, I don't have a whole lot more to say other than just sort of repeating how they were clowning on Onari a little more than I'd like, even if I can see where they were coming from with it. And two, like, I'm also kind of getting annoyed with Arya kind of ending up being the proverbial duck that Adil talks to. I get that she's locked up and that this is about showing the weird relationship with Adil and his soul, and Arya and her soul, and like, you know, showing those family dynamics, but it's still kind of like, I'm not going to open it back up. I'm just like, I just want them to let her out so that she can just flip out like Rhodey in Iron Man 3 and just like open it up, whack, punch him in the face. It'd be great. Just comes out flying.
I mean, agree. I absolutely want her to just get up and walk over and punch him in the guts. That's pretty much all I want out of life right now.
Yep.
Yeah,
just
I'm all
with my heart guts. Bam.
Man, Ayla, who were you saying Leo should live with before? Because I think Adele should join them.
Yeah, I don't remember, but...
I don't know, let's just kick him into the sun with Phoenix.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, again, you know, Phoenix again, kind of deserves them. Better, but...
kind of. Just a little bit, though. Marginally better. About 44, I'm so angry that the opening hasn't adapted to include everyone properly, unless they're waiting to include Adele and Arya. I don't get it, like, in the final episode. So that bothers me a lot.
I'm with you on that. There are two shots where I keep waiting for them to put other people in, and they haven't.
Yeah, it's bizarre. That's bizarre. Not the Gonmizer's powers, but that's bizarre. Anyway, I don't know how to, like, make this safe for radio, so I guess I'll just say TFW. What was with Canon massaging Sage? This fool is getting her brother killed or taken over or whatever by his apparent inaction, because, like, he designed not only the Gonmizers, but Deep Connect, which draws from the power of the Gonmizer, Deep Spectre, which draws from the powers of the Gonma, which is somehow turning him and his other truer self into Gonmizers. Like, it's this whole big mess, and it's like, Sage, you were responsible. And I know he said, I'm not responsible, he chose to dive too deep and look into his soul, but it's like, yeah, but I don't think, I thought he meant, I don't think
you gave a 5-year-old a gun, dude.
Yeah, you're obviously way more sophisticated than him. You can't just get mad at him for saying, like, well, I told him, I warned him it was going to be a bad idea. So that sucks. And then I already said Ollie didn't get enough to do, so there we go. All right, should we move on to Womance?
Let's.
Unlike Sono, I absolutely really like the creepy children with glowing eyes wandering around humming creepy song and staring in the distance. I thought that was great. I really like that sort of, I really like having that sort of...
Are you calling me out?
Yes. It's been
40... Because I'll go. If you're looking for a fight, I'll go.
It's been 43 episodes. I can finally call someone out. But I really like having those having a little bit of some horror edge in my Kamen Rider, and I really like that, and I wish we had more of that, because oh man, like I'm
blah blah dark and edgy.
what was that one quote? You guys probably seen that weird chart, like Ed, what's like the edge to edgiest, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good catchphrase. Whatever, forget it. I'm edge. I'm an edge lord. Yeah, I listen. Sorry, I shop at Hot Topic, and my favorite movie is Suicide Squad. Ooh, that's how edgy I am.
Wow.
I never actually seen Suicide Squad, and there's no Hot Topic saving.
Oh my god, you cut me.
There's no...
You're so edgy.
Rawr means I love you in Dinosaur, or wait, that's probably not part of the edgelord aesthetic, I don't know. Do Hot Topics even exist in Finland? Whatever. But yeah, I really like that. And the other things I liked... I really like this... the opening shot for episode 44, the overhead view, that just only for a few seconds. I don't know why, but I kind of like that. That was kind of neat. And, I definitely really like the 43 episodes where, you know, that sort of really cool imagery of, like, all these different, like, the people who are beta testing the those magical internet contact lenses. And then all their consciousness are being transported to the giant monolith, and then Takaru enters through that weird network of consciousness, and then sees that giant lens, and then uses, like, the Beethoven icon to, like, conduct and restore people's consciousness back to where it belongs. That was really cool. That was a really cool sequence. Really nice visuals, really imaginative. I really that was really cool too, and definitely. That's all that I can like think of that you know you guys haven't really mentioned.
For 43, everyone at the beginning at Ryu's grave, I thought was real sweet. Just you know the whole cast getting together. And Takaru believing so much in everyone and how they've helped him. It's just, you know, nice to see a hero that's, you know, finally not all about himself. not to call anyone out directly, but
this is my stage now.
Don't even get me started on the this is my stage thing, because that is a rant that I will go on. Onari's such a good dude, and he's trying so hard. He just wants to help, and everyone's real rude. And I feel so bad for him. I love the return of Conductor Ganma's ability to just cut out all audio. I always thought that was real neat. So I'm glad they brought that back. And for all that I think the execution of everything is kind of sloppy, Elaine's actor did an amazing job portraying Onari.
Oh, yes.
Like, I don't know how much time Yanagi spent with this kid going over Onari's body language, but he has it down from the first instant that's on film. Like, this kid's got some real range, having gone back and watched early episodes recently, where he was still Sweater the Kid. He's got a lot of range, and he knows how to sell it. And I really hope that after this show is over, like, he goes on and gets some major roles and things, because he deserves a real good career with talent like his.
Oh, yes. I really wish that he would cut in the... become like the who was the guy who was in Deno? Was a really good. Who was also
Takeru Sato?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a big poster of him as Kenshin at Otakon, and I cried a little because I'm real proud of him.
Yeah, I wish that he gets that same thing happen to him too, where he just, because there's real potential with him that I feel like should be tapped, well tapped.
Isamura Hayato. The name had escaped me when I was writing my notes, but that's Elaine's actor's name.
Ah, all right.
And he's got some real talent.
What's he been in before Ghost?
I have no idea. Mm. I have not looked. But I hope that, you know, he goes on to a real good acting career after this.
Mm. Mm.
Okay, so... sorry, I got distracted. I was trying to look him up. He is fantastic, though. Let's see. Okay, so...
that's my bit for 43.
Yes. Igor's meat puppets towards the end were creepy. This is a 43, the people who all came about. They do that really well in this show, and I like it, and it makes me happy that they can get to that level of creepy with people. The meat puppet Makoto stuff was really good, and all these people who were extras did just as good a job, I think, as whoever would have been in his suit. And Itoku is Necrom, and I don't know who is the secondary who plays Spectre, but, you know, props to the extras. My next thing is Takeru assures Elaine that they will get through to Adele, and that was just really sweet, and it just shows how, like, beautiful Takeru is and what a great heart he has, and that makes me happy. That's what a hero should be, in my opinion. Akari wants to protect Bill's dream. Like, I know he's being possessed and used, but I'm still, like, mad at him a little bit, but she doesn't feel that way at all because she's too good, and it makes me sad. Here we go. Hiroki's mom. Unfortunately, we didn't get her name, but, like, she looks so sad and tired, and my heart really goes out to her. And not, you know, the joke aside about her getting in the contact lenses so she could sleep, I think him being up all the time and acting so weird is, like, freaking her out, and she can't sleep because of it. And I think that she looks worn out, and I think it's a great effect to show, like, how Demia is affecting people on the small scale, and, you know, just how much worse it could get. Okay, let's move on to Woman's for 44, right?
Yes. The whole inside Demia thing is really reminiscent of the third Sailor Moon movie, which is my favorite one, and I always thought it had kind of a really weird, neat villain plot, and in a way, a lot of Ghost is really like that. Stick people in a box so they never age and never die and can be happy for all eternity. And, like, I I can't believe it took me this long to make that connection. But it was seeing all the people, like, in the little glass capsules being raised into the sky was some very reminiscent imagery of that. And I've always just thought that was a neat plot, and it was nice to think about that. Beethoven's whole music isn't meant to trap the soul, it's meant to free it, is some real good stuff. Like, that's just a great line. The real server is somewhere else trap I thought was actually pretty great and caught me off guard. I feel like I should have seen it coming, but with how fast Ghost moves, I didn't really expect them to be like, haha, no, this was our trap all along. Just because normally it's like, no, the thing is here and we're just gonna handle it. I really didn't expect it, and it raised the tension in a real nice way. And Akari slapped Igor again. And it was real good. And, you know, even though Igor, like, saw it coming and tried to stop it, Akari can't be stopped, because she is the true hero. And just, between Sela punching Leo and Akari slapping Igor hard enough to knock him off his feet and then run from her in terror as she chases him screaming at the top of her lungs. Like, this has been a real good Toe Network week for, you know, women standing up to gross misogynists.
Nice.
Yeah, it really has. I especially like, he's like, aha, I caught your hand. You can't do anything now, and she just comes around with the other hand. Who do you think you're talking to? Like, I just kind of want her to be like, do you know who I am?
It's just, I love that just after that, they cut, like, after they cut away to Takeru, and then they cut back to Igor, like, getting up and running away as just Akari chases him with her fist in the air, just yep. gutturally screaming at him.
Yep. Dude should like, just took his medicine.
Shoulda. But that's my bit for 44.
Yeah, so I think like my big one is again the bit where we almost had a fight, but I can respect our differences of opinions, because I love that giant contact lens so much. It is like my favorite things, and it's just such a perfect symbol for what's going on. Like, if the Ganma's kingdom is symbolized by a giant flaming eye, then of course, when it turns all of humanity into a silent tool for its own purposes, it's a giant contact lens. I love it so much.
Hey, like, what do you have against contact lenses? What?
I love I honestly, I'm completely agnostic about contact lenses, but if I was going to perfectly illustrate the transformation of individual human souls into a thing to be used by a massive panopticon of supernatural power, a giant contact lens onto a cosmic staring eternal eye is a beautiful symbol. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but Aleph, what do you have like, against contact lenses?
I got to agree that like the vision, like the symbolic imagery of it is great. It just...
It's also bananas.
It's also way more bananas than I was prepared to handle.
Like, it's the first... Like, okay, so here's how my Kamen Rider went. I watched Forza. I watched Akiba Ranger. Then I watched Superhero Tyson. That's a whole lot of, like... If you go from
that's three bananas
Forza,
in a row.
Akiba... What? Yeah. Superhero Tyson, that's all the bananasest parts of Rider and Sentai all at once. That is a concentrated dose. I was not like, ready.
I mean, I started Sentai with Go-Onger and somehow survived that intact, yeah. But was still not prepared for how bananas this giant contact lens was.
But people.
But yeah, anyway.
But Aleph.
What? Yes.
What's wrong with contact lenses?
Nothing's wrong with... Why do you think I think something's wrong with contact lenses?
Well, you went on to this whole thing about, like, humanity being used as the tool and, you know, and all this kind of thing.
Contact lenses are a tool, dude.
Yeah, I know.
They are a thing.
I don't know what you think they are.
But they're helpful tools.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
Yes, but they're still a tool.
All of humanity would definitely be helpful for the Ganma Empire that is also Adele.
But what?
It would be very helpful for him to achieve his goals. It just would suck if you were one of the people getting turned into the contact lens. But I don't want to be a contact lens.
Does that mean then the Ganma Empire is, like, nearsighted, or...?
Yeah, a fascist empire being completely myopic and in need of something to help it see far past the nose on its face.
Wow.
I could see
it's
that.
It's the most myopic of empires.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So that's a very good call.
So, so the contact lens is both the symbol of humanity being used as a tool, but it also is like a tool to help Ganmon like see further. Okay, I'm really ruining this, am I?
No, I think it's...
No, but it's true. It's a very good call, because that's... It would be the way that the Ganma would learn to see the value. You know, they would be enlightened in this way.
If only
by turning human...
Because they could see they could see farther than their immediate goals.
By turning humanity into a tool, which is, in this case, a giant contact lens.
Yeah, if there were more... Anyway, but we could go on with this, but it's visual poetry, and I love it.
I mean, remember the lesson of Elaine and the how he would just use... He would just churn his fellow Ganma through his... You know, yeah. Necrom suit.
You just turn them into fuel.
Yeah, it's that to the next level. Because it also describes the failing of the society. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it does, though. Yeah, it's, yeah. But as you've, yeah, time. I also like the thing where everyone's souls get plucked out through their third eye, which, again, feels very big with the fact that this is kind of an Onari sort of focus. Because he's been trying to open his third eye this whole series, and I really like that. Speaking of, just want to extra plus one the whole thing where, hey, the kid playing Elaine, playing Onari, that's beautiful. And I keep wondering if like, Sono says it, you know, has the possibility that it's like, okay, and it's him and the actors and the director all working together to get this body language down. And a part of me is just wondering... Or is it just that this dude goofs on people on set, and he does an Onari impression, and everyone's like, guys, we've got to find a way to make that happen. Can we do that? Is that possible? I bet we could.
Given the stuff that I've seen from the whole cast, I wouldn't be surprised, like, if that was just the thing that happened.
That would be the greatest truth possible out of this whole situation.
Let's see. Oh, right. And I think the last thing I wanted to touch on was that there's something kind of weirdly intense about Adel and his light wings in the Christian or Christian-coded, because you know, a lot of different, even architectural traditions in various Christian sects, I'm not that well-versed. After a couple, you know, happening in these same episodes that are all about a Buddhist monk, like... I don't know if this is some sort of weird Agito callback or some sort of commentary, but something feels intense there, and I don't know what it is, but I really like it. Just feels like Adel is becoming the god, and then Ghost is going to be Agito and punch him in the mouth. And,
I really
want to
see him
that.
Get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's all you want, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I really do. I really want, like, both of his siblings to just walk up and just, like, Elaine holds him down, and Arya just punches him. And then they just give him to Takeru, like, okay, you can do whatever now, but we earned that.
And as Adel drops to ground, he looks at him, and we see that he had contact lenses all along. Dropped on the ground.
Obscuring his vision.
Yes.
The scales will fall from his eyes in the form of contact lenses. you know, I gotta say, and Paul was technically a zealot, so like, wow. Anyway, that's pretty good. I think Adel is a better Gamo than Gamo, so like, hats off to the creatives on Ghost, because like, they're doing a really awesome job with that. But we are pressed for time, and I'm going to blow through stuff. I don't know about you guys, but we'll see. So for 44, my moments were these. The rubber ducky or wind or air Gon Miser, had some pretty cool moves. Like whoever was in that suit was like doing those like twisty, flippy double foot kicks in the air that like I would break my back trying to do. And that was pretty awesome. Elaine's theme song is in here, and I love it so much, and it's good stuff. And then, you know, hundreds or thousands of people, maybe even millions, I don't know, I don't know what the population of Japan is, so I can't really guess. Like, they coalesced into a giant contact lens, which Takeru undid with the power of music. Like, just...
50,000 people is the number they gave.
50,000 people. There you go. So, like, that's amazing. And by the way, those people had those that awful effect on them because they were turning into glass with which they would coalesce and focus, I believe. Like, that's how I read it.
Is it sort of like when... Was it the Fangire or the Orphanox who, like, suck all of the life?
Oh, yeah, that was
the
Fangire.
And
then they fell in.
Yeah, that sure is, because they're vampires.
Yeah. And the stained glass thing, so they pulled all the color out of... Anyway, so, there we go. Let's move on to prophecy. What do you foresee happening in Ghost?
Moms for everyone. Moms as far as the eye can see. Everyone gets a mom. Moms for you, and moms for you. Moms for everybody. And I'm still clinging to Adele getting grounded for life. Hopefully by Arya. Just getting up and wrecking him.
Yeah, and I also adore all this stuff with moms. It feels kind of like a call-out to the whole franchise, which, like, look, I'm all about, because Ghost has basically every time it's been like, hey, you, other series, here's how you do it right. It's been pretty righteous, and bringing in moms after, like, long time without a whole lot of moms, real good.
Quick aside, Otoya is awful dad, idolized awful dad, and Ryu is idolized great dad. Just put him out there. Go ahead.
Ryu is the anti-Otoya.
It's true.
And, like, I can't comment too much about what else, because we're kind of catching up, but I am excited. That's all I'll say. Especially given how few episodes are left, because holy dang, this show.
Books. Books and books and books. Alright, so Makoto will overcome Shadow or God Miser Makoto by saying, yeah, you are the real me, we are connected, and then he'll swallow himself, get a new outfit, and kick Adele, stunning him so that Takeru can talk to him, or can talk him down from his mad ideology.
I like that.
That'd be some good stuff.
He'll be both of himself. He'll be two people.
Well, I personally hope that we will finally get to see Adele dropping his contact lenses on the ground and finally seeing the world as it is. I think. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. I think it would be cool. I really do.
I don't know why I don't know why I'm now laser focused on this this contact lens thing, but.
I could make a joke about lasers and focusing, but I won't. Let's go ahead and get into our icons, or our questions, everybody. First is on icons. What has the Deep Spectre icon been doing to Makoto this whole time? Like, what really?
This is me guessing because I haven't been able to follow this plot line real well. But, you know, they've been destroying parts of him via Deep Spectre. Like, every time he destroys one of them, it destroys part of himself. And then, you know, all of them are revived, and now the whole of Gon Miser Makoto has more bits of him than regular Makoto. So he's like, well, I'm the real one now because I have all the real parts. I don't know. Again, I haven't been able to follow this plotline super well, because there's so much other stuff going on since it's come up, so to me it's a little bit too vague.
Yeah, it is vague, but at least it feels like they're starting to work on some of that dive too deep sort of stuff. I mean, I like the idea that the Gon Misers are going to keep replacing pieces of our boy Makoto until he's one of them, and that's the price for using the power, and I really hope that that's what they're doing, because that's actually really cool. Especially since he's the one who has to keep destroying all the parts that they steal.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure how any of this works, but I like the fact that Shadow Makoto is much more emotive than Arm Makoto. Power to him, you know. It reminds me of Topher Grace's great line from Spider-Man 3, the best Spider-Man movie ever, which was, I like being bad. It makes me happy. It's a great line.
That is a good line. I want to snark and say that ironically, but no, yeah.
Question two, then?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, enforcing perspective. Do you think we should rush to watch the rest of the Divinity Twin specials because they showed up at the end of 44?
I mean, I've watched the Wizard one, and I'm just saying you should watch them anyway because they're good.
Oh my god.
But I don't think they're a necessary thing to watch the way, like, the Type Tokujo specials were. I mean, I could be wrong because we haven't seen Takeru in Ghost proper interact with these kids yet. You know, while he has interacted with them in the specials. So if he sees them and, like, knows who they are, that kind of cuts my whole argument in half. But when Takeru first goes and makes his wish and brings back Kanon, we do hear, I believe, the boy's voice. We do hear, like, a child's voice, and I believe it was the boy. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, just these two are the Great Eye, or are in the Great Eye and act as the Great Eye. And now they're coming out because they're getting real ticked at Adele for abusing their power and want to be like, hey, Takeru, you're the one with all the power to punch this guy in the face. Go punch this guy in the face.
I forgot the Divinity Twins appeared at the end of 44. God, what? Whoa. Who are they?
It's weird because they look a little older in the Rider Icon specials. I don't, maybe that's just me. But, like, it's definitely still them because I'm, like, 800% sure those are the same clothes.
It is.
Same clothes, same kids.
Same actresses.
I don't know if maybe it was just the lighting.
Who are these guys? What is people?
They're from the Great Eye. They're the Great Eye. You hear them when Takeru goes into the Great Eye and makes his wish.
Those are the. They are the. Huh?
Well, think about them as a. Well, you know,
like emissaries?
Yeah, emissaries are like the personification, and it's like the whole male-female, you know, expression of this thing is both.
Wait, so.
Is life.
So they.
Except that I thought. Except that aren't they both girls?
Wait.
No?
No, one's a boy and one's a
girl. Wait, so.
Really?
And they can kind of turn into one person.
Yeah, Frank.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So
and they can kind of turn into one person.
Wait, so
whenever they want.
So
I'm just having like if you say so.
So in the they showed up in the specials that had like the Rider Icons.
The Rider Icons. Yeah.
And that's where they were confirmed that they were like the voice of the Great Eye. Right?
It's the same. It's the same voice.
Yeah, they don't say it, but it is definitely the boy's voice.
Like,
oh.
Yeah. Like if you were listening to it
side
by side.
It's not something that anyone has actually, like, said out loud, but, like, it's the boy's voice, and they come out of that same symbol.
This is true.
I have no idea how to comment on this. I will see how the next few episodes do this. If it's gonna be, like, the thing that they do that I've said it before that I am concerned, always...
It all depends on, like, when Takeru makes contact with them, how he reacts to them.
Yeah, if it's gonna be like, oh, you were the guys who I met in this thing that are completely outside the show, then I'd be like, this sucks. But if it's gonna be like, oh, it's... And then they kind of... If the show introduces them properly, like, oh, this is what they are, then okay. Then I'm fine with it.
The thing is, I'm going to give Ghost the benefit of the doubt because they didn't have that problem with Ryu.
And Boost.
From Drive Ghost.
Oh, yeah. That... Yeah.
So I'm willing to give Ghost the benefit of the doubt because they've already, like, addressed that problem and not messed it up.
I hope the same continues here, too, because, I reserve my judgment until I see how they do it.
Alright, that's fair. What about you, Aleph? What are your thoughts on this?
See, I'm just still, like, feeling really awful, because I thought they were, like, just two girls, and one had long hair and one had short hair. I feel like kind of a jerk now. Other than that, like, I just kind of hope that we get into something like, if they are the Great Eye, or the Great Eye's consciousness or sense of self, like, coming to set things right, or maybe make them wronger. I don't know. I just think they're neat.
Okay.
Weird, mysterious ladies.
Right.
It's weird, mysterious twins. I'm sorry. It's rude to misgender people. That's not okay.
Let me see. So I went ahead and I rushed and did watch all of the specials available. Thank you, Sono, for providing five for me, because I could not find it on Overtime site somehow.
No problem. I've got everything if people need it.
Okay. I really do feel like the Wonder Twins showing up at the end there makes them feel like they're supposed to be really important, and I'll be mad if they are, because that drives Sin and Ghost has, like, steered clear, of so many missteps so far, that it is upsetting to think the creatives would think that this is a good idea. Although, like Sono said, depending on how Takeru reacts to them, they can be important, but if he's like, hey, I know you guys, or don't know you guys, or whatever, it could be bad one way or the other. Like, the Elaine specials are non-essential and fun extras, but Frey and Freya come off as super important to me, and, like, I'm really tenuous about how to react to that. Let's go ahead and get on to our last question and end this show, guys, because I gots to go. The Gonma's Monolith, Project Demia, Bill's Betrayal, and, I should say, Steve Bill's Betrayal, and Shadow Makoto have all been long-played plot threads. Did the payoff for all of them in 44 work for you?
I don't know if I'd call Shadow Makoto long played, and definitely not to the extent that the other two are. Shadow Makoto's only been going on for, like, 2 months, I think. Like, that, it's a lot more recent, but I'm pretty satisfied with how the Monolith and Demia have turned out, even if I feel like they were paced kind of roughly, where there's just... It could have been a lot smoother instead of a lot of gaps of just not talking about those things. But I don't feel like there's been a payoff to Shadow Makoto yet. Right now, I'm not convinced, like, that the payoff for Shadow Makoto is coming in the immediate future. But we're in a really weird place pacing-wise. We're trying to wrap everything up so we can get to the final battle and epilogue, but we're still 3 episodes away from needing to be done with wrapping everything up. So we're in, like, a really weird pacing place where I can't really say what's going to happen with anything.
Yeah, which is legit. And like, for me, like, I can't disagree about the rough pacing, but I will say, like, I'm really enjoying watching the cast play off their reaction of stuff like Mr. Bill and how they're a sensible ally is in fact working for the enemy and has been almost all along. And then also, like, figuring out what's the deal with the Monolith. Like, it's not quite a payoff per se. It's definitely a we're coming up on the end flag, and I'm happy for it, because it does feel like it's letting us know that the gloves are off and it's time to believe in and actualize the infinite potential of humanity, or allow it to be crushed under the foot of a totalitarian demagogue. It's just, I think the real skill with the stuff with Demia and Bills is that they aren't even angling for a payoff. They're just like, okay, this is going to happen. Let's watch it happen. And it's not like OMG revelations. It's just a low-key, okay, they've been really behind the audience for so long. How are they going to handle this? Because we all know how intense and how much work went into this. I really dig that.
Such a refreshing thing after, like, ooh, big mysteries. Ooh.
Yeah, there's no mystery. It's just pure storytelling.
All right, for me, Bill's Betrayal is more like the characters catching up, so I can see your point there, Aleph, like, you know, that it totally works on that level. I like how it hits everybody, though. Like, that was pretty cool. Especially poor Kari. Like, she believes in this guy and, like, has been excited to work with him. And just, it really took the air out of her. Like, she fell to her knees, and that was pretty well done. Demia and the monolith coming back definitely worked for me. I'll agree that the whole Shadow Mokuto deal isn't over, but it is right there, and there isn't much more that can be done with it, I think. Now we know that he was getting copied somehow, and Adele is also somehow using the remaining copies to replace his lost on Misers somehow. This is almost enough for me on Shadow Mokuto, but it's a bit bonkers that there are no clear mechanics to it. Also, I call it long played because, you know, he dove too deep in Ghost 28, and I think the copy showed up in, like, the late 30s or early 40s. So
it's been that long.
Yeah, so Deep Spectre has been seeding this whole mess for, like, 16 episodes. Even though we didn't know it, now we can look back and, like, man, so since he got Deep Spectre, this thing has been happening. So, I don't know. And I don't know if it's a thing where you can, like, count how many Shadow Mokutos there were, and they correlate directly with how many times he's henshined with Deep Spectre or not, because he's done it, like, a lot. Like, at least once every episode since then, so there could have been, like, 30 of them, you know?
Yeah.
20 to 30, I don't know. Sarsen, do you have anything you want to add on this, or are we ready to close?
No, I... Honestly, I don't have anything much to say right now anymore.
Okay, I want to close with one, like, very short, like, no longer than 30 seconds. How are you guys seeing Ghosts? Like, is this a great series and you can't wait, or and you're excited to see the good ending of it, or is it going in, like, bad places for you?
No, I love Ghost more than I expected to. Everyone has posted their end of filming flowers. And I cried as I got all of those photos and then made a collage of all of them, and it's now my phone lock screen. And so far the only one I haven't been able to find an actual photo for is Aria, because she doesn't have any social media.
Oh, okay.
And Javert did not post himself with his flowers, he posted just a picture of them. So he's also not in it, which, you know, is upsetting because they're my two favorites. But no, I'm really into Ghost, where it's gone, where it's going. I think they're really going to stick the landing on it. And it's real weird having the currently airing show be, like, one of my top three. That's a weird feeling.
I bet.
Yeah, really. I mean, for me, it's just a thing of... Like, it would take a really colossal failure in the last episode. And even then, this one is always going to be a favorite, just because if it fails, it's going to be such a noble failure. It will for once be a failure not of ambition or scope or storytelling, but just like, you didn't stick the landing. And that's so much better than, like, the past couple years where it was... Oh, what the hell, you guys?
Yeah. I mean, there's always the risk of episode 46 of Forza. I don't know how they do it in this, because they seeded that a bit kind of in the episodes that we're in now with Ghost. But that was a colossal misstep on the part of Forza that took a lot of wind out of the sails of the ending for me. Not enough that I wasn't completely emotionally devastated. Just, you know, keeping that out there. But I'm prepared for the risk, and I believe in them enough that I don't think it'll happen.
Right. What about you, Sarsenian?
I've been for the last few podcast episodes have kind of tried to reserve my final judgments. I want to say my piece on the overall my opinion on the show and how these various parts of it has been working. When I see how the final episode works out, I want to see how it works as a whole, and then kind of see how it is.
That's fair. I'm thinking maybe at this point that we should do just cover the final episodes or episode like normally, and then do a big, you know, ghost postmortem show.
I think a postmortem.
That sounds good.
Sounds proper.
I mean, I think the whole thing needs to be unpacked because like there was a lot that happened. And there's a lot that's happening. So, and for my part, as we close out, I gotta say, Black Kiva Ghost, like that is where I am at. I know it's unbelievable.
That is saying some stuff. And I know that for you to be saying this stuff, you are really saying some stuff.
Yeah, and like
I also can't fight you.
Like,
yeah, no, I definitely think I'm like Blade, Ghost, and then like Double and Forze tied for third.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going up 3-2-1, just to be clear.
Oh.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm saying a lot there.
Wow. Okay, then. Yeah, wow.
Like, seriously?
That is saying a thing.
Like, with how X-Aid looks, I think Ghost is the writer show I go out on. And, like, like, I'm going out on top, and I'm so bleeping happy that this is the show at this time in my life. And, you know, we'll see what happens with RX and how it might henchin going forward, because I don't think I can hang with X8, especially after Ghost, just by the way it looks. Like, Ghost is the show that might ruin Kamen Rider for me, which makes me really happy.
Amit,
yeah.
you probably should watch Kamen Rider 1 movie then.
Yeah, no.
Are subs
we all
for that
want
out
to.
Yet?
No one has subbed it yet,
but when it comes out, I think you really should watch it then.
Ignis, I saw on the timeline that she was translating it a couple days ago, so like that's good.
Okay, so
work is being
soon,
done.
Hopefully,
cool.
Work is being done.
So
yeah, there's no way I'm not. I mean, Takeshi Hongo, he is my hero. Like Kamen Rider 1. I mean, that's. I'm about to get all emotional.
I'll talk about that movie once we get there, but yeah. Oh, and my top favorites are probably still gonna remain as the Kuga Black V3 Agito, sort of the those four in indeterminate positions, and so that's gonna still be my top four. Blade is probably on the fifth place, so yeah, Ghost is probably not gonna be in their top five, but I enjoy it. So I enjoy
and,
it. So
you know, I haven't seen more. I haven't seen a ton, so like I'm looking forward to after X8 exploring other areas of, or after Ghost exploring other areas of Kamen Rider, because like
you've
I know
seen
better stuff out there.
Have you seen Kuga or Agito? Or
nope,
V3?
I've only seen 10. I saw the first 10 episodes of Kuga, and I haven't seen any of Agito.
Oh,
watch Blade.
Oh boy, so, we.
I have good places to go, and I'm happy about that.
One day, Amit, we will do. We should do, and V3. We should do a whole thing talking about V3 because I V3 is really good.
Yeah, I'm open to it. But anyway, so. Like, I really think Ghost is shaping out to be... I mean, I just said it's, like, the best thing I've ever seen in Kamen Rider so far. Like, yeah, there have been little issues here and there, but every show has things that are not so great in it, and they've been really minor in Ghost. Maybe annoying for a long time, but they've been minor. So I'm really pleased with it, and I think this is going to be a great end. Like, I'm so happy. I've got the subs for 45 on my phone, and like after this edit I'm gonna watch that and then make notes and then wait for 46, and I'm so excited about getting to the end of the show, because it's gonna be so good, such a good payoff, I feel. So anyway, with that, Aleph, why don't you go ahead and get us out of here.
Alrighty, so for Uncommon Cast RX, I'm Aleph,
and I'm the bleeping Amit.
Oh, and Cannibal Saracenian. And apparently, our phone detective decided to make an appearance.
Yes, that's what that was.
And I'm Sono.
And this big bunch of miscellaneous mavericks will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.